Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG from Scratch. I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Liam.
Hi!
Doug.
Hello.
And Max.
He's here.
I just got back from a sabbatical in D.C. Liam got back from a sabbatical in...
Wrightsville Beach, baby.
Oh, right. That is in America somewhere.
Somewhere in America.
I'm back from a sabbatical with COVID.
Yeah, so he says. Yeah.
Staycation.
Yeah.
Not the Maldives.
And how about you, Max? What'd you do?
Nothing. It was glorious.
Yeah, you're getting ready to go back to your specific line of work.
Specific line of work, back to work.
Yep.
But my vacation was also glorious. I didn't do anything.
Hell yeah.
I'm joining you.
It's your last week to not do anything.
Well, I painted models. I played Ghost of Tsushima. Played some Cyberpunk.
Fuck yeah.
I didn't do any, I read a couple books on drug cartels.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds very Max.
I was reading a book on Whitey Bulger, but I had to put it down.
Oh, he's terrible.
Well, Whitey Bulger is bad, but it was written by the lead detective who was in charge of prosecuting him, who was hounded by the FBI for decades. So the whole book is just like, we had this information, and then we found out the FBI called Whitey Bulger and gave him this information. I can't.
This is super depressing. Yeah.
What if Harry Turtle wrote a book about the cartel?
Yeah, he's writing about volcanoes these days. I just can't care about volcanoes that much.
Is he super into volcanoes? Is that the whole thing?
Volcanoes, and then he's moved on to the Cold War.
Wait, is his
counterfactual history if a volcano went off at the right time?
Yeah, if a super volcano went off, what would happen?
Oh, that was Peshawar Lancers was that, right?
Yeah, that was Sterling, though.
Peshawar Lancers kind of ruled.
That definitely ruled. I don't remember what we're talking about.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. We got other stuff to talk about.
Cool.
Great.
All right. So, I've got Pounce on the docket again. I know we've gone over this effect a few times. It's in Step 5 Champion. It's you dash or leap into combat, heedless of risk. And I don't like the way it was structured previously when we talked about it. What if it's a scene ability that allows them to move their speed as part of the attack and that buffs them against opportunity attacks? And then they can do any at will at the end, rather than it being a specific attack unto itself. It's a per scene ability.
It's a bolt-on. How was it described before that made it a pounce?
Right now it says you may move your speed and make a basic attack, gaining you +2 to dodge against opportunity attacks.
Okay. So that sounds like what you just described.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing about that says anything about overclearing an obstacle, pouncing.
Jumping. It was an at will ability too, that it almost permanently buffed their movement and...
It sounds like a good move, just maybe something other than pounce.
What if they just don't touch the floor in those spaces? So, they don't trip a trap or...
Or if it just says it allows you to clear over obstacle, if you're behind cover or if there's a body in the way.
Or if we're going with pounce.
Well, I think the idea is the most.
Yeah. The idea of pouncing usually doesn't involve obstacles in terms of, how
animals
pounce.
Yeah,
I mean? It's more about...
Leaping into
you're there.
Yeah. It's hard to interrupt, right? That's the idea. It's, sudden and scary.
How do you get that feeling into the game other than just saying, will you move your speed?
If we do it this way, you can move your speed and then do this as a scene ability, which allows you to move your speed again. And then you get a buff against any opportunity attacks you provoke from that speed move, and you get to do any of your basic attacks at the end.
Any of your at-wills.
Any of your at-wills, rather than a basic.
Would lunge be better than pounce for you, Doug?
I mean, the move sounds great.
No, we have
it's just a matter of
Yeah, they get that with piercing weapons, I think. Yeah. Champions.
It's if you're able to move twice your speed twice, it just
in once that, an encounter. That's a lot.
No, I know. And that almost sounds like a running attack as opposed to a pounce. You think of something quick.
But it ends at the target.
True.
So it's not like a run by attack, right?
Just make it that the movement that you get from the pounce you can't hook it.
Okay, so it has to be
straight line.
Yeah,
it has to be a straight line from from the moment the pounce begins.
Yes.
You can move however zigzag up until that point.
Yeah. You can turn a quarter and then pounce.
I like that.
Yeah.
You can only pounce in a straight line.
Yes.
No, I dig that. Yeah.
That makes it, I think that's the pounce flavor. And
are we happy with just plus two to dodge?
It's pretty good.
As you do it?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I said against opportunity attacks, but how about just, I mean, well, I guess the only thing that would try to interrupt you. Well, no, there can be thing. Well, I
like
guess.
A, well, like if someone's
only an opportunity action can. Well, there might be like hazards or something that try.
I was gonna say like maybe like a trap or like if there's something blowing fire at you, you can't really dodge that. Like,
well, I think you're doing it with such speed that maybe like
maybe
and like pouncing in between fire breaths. You know.
Yeah, well, but also you know what? I don't think it's too powerful to let it remain until your next turn. You did something so sudden, so weird, that even through the next turn, they're like, holy shit, this guy's here?
Against melee.
Yes.
All right, so we remove it against opportunity attacks. We'll say, from the moment the pounce begins until the beginning of your next turn, you gain a plus two to dodge against melee.
Because if a badass archer wants to shoot you halfway through,
you're done.
That's, you know, you don't get the chance to dodge that in the middle of midair.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that feels good, and it feels distinct, and there's a natural counter to it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I have a total meta-universe question.
Okay.
Hit me with it, my brother.
Do we have ghosts?
Yes.
Definitely. You seem awfully sure.
Definitely.
You seem too sure for me.
Definitely.
I think because everything we talked that was ghostly or spiritual had some tie to technology before.
Yeah, before, yeah.
Like, if you're talking about a literal ghost.
A literal ghost.
Oh, then no.
Okay.
That's why I said you seem so sure. What do you think he's talking about?
No, but I was like, are there things that
appear to be ghosts? No. Sure. Are there disembodied voices? Are there
function as ghosts in this universe?
Yeah. Do these people believe in ghosts? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
If there's ghosts not ghosts, exists,
I would say probably not.
I walk.
No, but also there's.
Yeah. I'm out.
I'm.
Culturally, okay. Do we have ghosts? Well, yeah.
Yes. But here's my thing.
Pig people, what fish people,
all no that ghosts. Shit,
but no goddamn no ghosts. I'm walking.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line.
What if it's only human ghosts and they have no idea what the hell they are? Like, I know they have Tolden.
Oh, come on. If there were any ghosts, it'd be Savathians.
Oh, yeah.
What about 100%. Dogs?
But I'm saying,
just dogs.
It's been a million years. There'd be a lot of ghosts.
Oh, there'd be so many ghosts.
Yeah. That's how you know that ghosts aren't real in reality.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
Most people are dead. Like, the overwhelming majority of people are dead people.
You know, when I was younger, the thing that made me question it was someone said, how come ghosts aren't naked? Their clothes? Do clothes have spirits? And I go,
Doug, have I got a skit to show you, my dude?
Why are they all from the 1800s?
Yeah.
All of them are from the 1800s.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
But, no, not anyway. Let's have the ghost conversation.
But I think the conversation needs to be, are there things that function as ghosts that have an in-universe background?
But that's not his question.
That's not my question.
Are there literal ghosts in the way that they are described in this
world? If you want to create a culture that had some kind of technology or magical like resonance specific to a spell or an event that happened, mm-hmm. and you want to make ghosts in your campaign, go for it. I'm saying, are ghosts, I mean, like, capital G, ghosts,
are real? A naturally occurring event in our universe?
We have demons.
Are ghosts real?
No.
We have dragons.
I'm leaning towards no, but I can't. I was writing some stuff.
No.
And I was like, okay, the thing I'm writing right now
is a ghost story.
Would
you can shoot fire
would it
from
be,
your ass, but you can't be a ghost.
You could be a ghost.
You could definitely be a ghost.
What was the situation that you found yourself in where you thought maybe a ghost might work?
No, it's that if ghosts are real, then this is competing. Like this is like a ghost is going to see this thing and be like, what happened? What happened here?
So you're telling me we live in 2022 and there's ghosts everywhere. We're going to go a million years in the future to Urd and there's suddenly no ghosts?
Right. Or did something happen and now there's ghosts in Urd?
Well, we have ghosts now, so something happened.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, okay. The baseline is Max believes there's
did
ghosts.
Did the moon crack and it sucked up all the ghosts because of the pressure?
That's a really fun
question. How about this?
There's only ghosts on the moon.
What if I propose this option? Ghosts aren't real in reality. Like, hypothetically,
if we assume, for the sake of argument,
because we don't want to deal with past ghosts, that ghosts aren't real. Let's just assume that.
It would be fun to have some specific ghosts from the past.
Yes.
Can McGargle make a ghost?
Yeah.
Oh, McGargle.
Only by accident.
Yeah. McGargle has accidentally made so many ghosts.
He tried to make a camera, and it just makes you a ghost.
Ghosts.
You die, but you're just standing there, and you're kind of blue. And you're like, what do I do now? And he's like, I don't know.
There is a ghost of you while you're alive.
Oh, no. That's even better. That's even better.
But what if you have to take care of it and feed it?
It's a ghost. It's already dead.
Yeah.
It's just going to follow you around.
No, it's bored. You have to feed it input like Johnny Five.
Like, what if McGarvel made a machine like The Prestige, but instead of actually cloning you, it just made a ghost of you, that's the worst thing ever.
Some author is like, oh, well, wonderful script notes forever, and they'll be walking around talking. It's like, no, they all want the credit. They're going to number themselves, and you're going to have to name each one of them in your fucking book, even though
there's a Gravity Falls episode about this, only they're made of paper.
Having an evil twin is bad,
oh, yeah.
Try having an evil twin ghost.
Bro, evil would be way more tolerable than just another one of you with the same thoughts. That would be fucking terrible.
That can walk through walls
really fast.
I know this is the plot of Multiplicity, but
what if even worse? What if you got
God? I love that movie.
What if you got like the really good one? You know, like the angel on your shoulder is like, oh, she really shouldn't be doing that all the time.
That'd be way worse. I have no wants or needs, so yeah, I'm the best version of you.
But you would go insane if you weren't able to actually eat or drink anything, and you couldn't feel nothing, and you were a ghost. Like, it's your brain.
What if it just felt awesome? Like, all the time.
Yeah, you just were high.
Okay, then maybe if that was the case, then yeah, it's great. But if it felt terrible and cold and, like, you know, the worst thing ever, you were like, I can't even die because I'm already
going to go hang out in the center of the earth. Goodbye.
Let's go back to the question at hand. Are ghosts real? Not real, because they're
in the world.
There should be things that function the same as ghosts, but they need a different explanation or multiple explanations.
We've already had that in the campaigns.
But ghosts as a function of the fabric of reality need to be a no.
I'm willing to
They're
abide.
Not a naturally occurring thing that happens when people die.
I agree.
In unfinished business.
I'm willing to abide by the vote.
Yeah, that's
I don't
infinite.
Care that
There's an infinite amount of ghosts then.
Yes.
How do we... Okay.
I think there are specific ghosts that have been created, but not everyone...
Through very specific means.
Through the... there's ghosts that are related to the moon, the black moon.
Okay.
Right? Because that whole experiment went
Does
terrible.
Literally or spiritually? Like in this universe?
Literally.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, is there a difference at some point?
I guess I should say literally or culturally. Because culturally, do they believe in ghosts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
There are definitely cultural ghosts
literally,
that are whole other things.
Literally spirits of the dead. Do they exist? I'm still like, no, but you're talking about something to do with the moon?
We could have something to do with the moon.
There are people who have died where there are presence of them that remains, but it's not a naturally occurring phenomenon from dying.
It's somehow mingled.
Their soul is trapped in some fucking nightmare place.
But if it's because, you know, someone fell
into
it. Are
souls real?
Yeah, I'm going to go with yeah.
Do you want to do souls?
Yes.
Because is that how you describe the magic in people?
Is it more of like an animus?
Yeah, it's not the Christian definition of souls. It is anima.
No, I think it would fit all the criteria, like in practice, but some kind of essence, like what's the book Altered Carbon?
Yeah,
something like that. But you don't have to have a chip installed, but you could make a device that yanks it out.
Yes,
like pulls it out of somebody.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that, but
Altered Carbon rules.
Yeah,
you should watch it or read it.
Imagine the
or both.
Definitely read it. The show gets. Like,
in the weeds.
I enjoyed the show. I haven't watched the second season. The first season is the book.
Don't watch the second season.
Okay. But Altered Carbon, the book is way more grounded than the show. The show gets a little too cyberpunk action movie.
Why I like it.
It's fun, but you should read the book first. And then enjoy the show and just be like, oh, it doesn't have to be good. Because there's an actor in the show. He's a gangster. He's like a racist Nazi gangster who has his soul sucked out. And then they just keep using his body to put other people in.
That actor has to play.
He is so good.
That actor has to play at least three. It might even be more. Three separate people. Knocks it out of the park every single time. It's the best version of a couple of those characters.
He is not in the book anywhere.
Neither is Poe.
No, it's Jimi Hendrix.
No, it's not even Jimi Hendrix. They allowed his visage for the thing. It's his manager. Runs the hotel.
In the book?
Yeah.
I thought it was...
He's a little
Hendrix
lame.
Hotel.
Yeah, it's the Hendrix Hotel.
Anyway, I guess I just selectively forgot that the first time they introduced him and just imagined Jimi Hendrix the whole time.
That was on purpose, based on how it was written, but it's never described. Yeah.
So
I like Poe.
So you're talking about now the Eshwin belief about the moon?
No, the Eshwin belief about the moon... What I'm saying is the moon probably created some ghosts. because the moon is a spaceship thing that
the second one
has a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And failed horribly, and now there's...
So it made what people think are ghosts, or...
Yes,
it,
but they haven't been seen in a long time, because they probably all went back there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just making sure we're clear on the language here, so that we're not talking about the moon is magic, and it literally made ghosts.
It is magic.
Magic is real in our setting. I want to stress this. But it's relatively new.
Yes. But some technology and magic have done stuff also.
But stuff.
Okay, so do we have ghosts? The answer is yes and no.
Yes.
Yes, there's things that act as ghosts. No, they're not the ghosts that we think of when we hear ghost stories.
Yes.
They have an explanation that is in-world. Each of them must have some kind of distinct explanation.
And there's multiple versions of those that will be story and setting dependent.
Even though 99.999% of all the characters in-universe wouldn't have an explanation.
Right.
Yes.
And we have souls. But it is just something about someone that can be reused or extracted or transplanted. And we don't know, like, and some cultures think of it as a soul. Other cultures are just like, ugh.
It's what makes you sapient, or other cultures are like, this is a thing this that is just passed a product. Down.
Yeah. This is a product of the meat robot that you're piloting.
Or it's a virus that you have to pull out of your body so you can be pure.
Or even just an intersection of your body and your mind that produces a thing that isn't an animal. You, like, the sapient creatures, even if they're not technically human, are sapient and they are persons.
So let's name that McGargle ghost camera so that we
can
use it.
The carbon copier?
Carbon is... It's not using carbon.
I was thinking...
But I like the idea that it is black and white. I like the idea that they're black and white, and I don't want to reuse monochrome dome again.
I was almost thinking like in my head, they were all blue like a force ghost.
Ooh, I like that.
I was just thinking carbon because we're carbon.
Something like a camera obscura kind of a thing. Like
camera...
Mise-en-scene.
So why did he make it?
Well, it was an accident, wasn't it?
No. Trying to make a camera?
He was definitely trying to make...
He made a camera that actually captures souls?
Well, no. That's also funny.
They but were I was right.
Like, the idea that it, or the idea that he was trying to make like a duplicator is really funny, and then it just doesn't.
He's trying to make
it kind of works.
Yeah.
Or like a projector where he's like, look, if like a security camera footage, he's like, I can put you here.
Yeah.
And you can watch what he's doing, and it's just like they're not connected. Like this. Yeah.
Well, I do like the idea. It doesn't steal your soul, it just makes another one.
Yeah. Yo, okay, so what, I don't know about the name of it, but what if the idea is that if you're using ancient technology to work on this, if humans at a certain point had to found a way to upload their consciousness to like a hard drive, so after they die, they can still be chattering with people or whatever, it's the same thing, except your original subject is still alive.
Yeah.
So he's just invented a camera or whatever it is, if it's however it works, that uploads your consciousness to something that makes it appear to be a ghost. So you're just interacting with a chat bot that's you.
Well, I think like you would do it, like you could almost do it without somebody knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you could take a picture of them, and then like, I think, what if the ghost can't go through walls?
It's just the thing.
Because it's kind of like a hologram. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And like if you, like the camera is like, it'll just run forever because there's a magical component to it. But
you could turn it off, I guess.
You only get like a couple pieces of whatever the film is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you can only do it like a couple times. So you like, you clip the king and you're like, we're here to interrogate you. Tell us the truth. And it's what is it?
Where am I? What's happened to me? Where is my body? Am I dead?
Yes. Yes,
am
you are
I dead. Yes. And the problem is you can't prove that they're actually dead because the real king is still around. So now you're going to have to do a Mark Twain fake funeral, or he's going to have to watch
his my funeral. They're working on it.
This is a great premise.
Is there like a good camera like tagline that's like capture the moment? Because what you're doing is capturing the moment of that person.
Hmm.
Making it a Kodak moment.
Yeah, like...
Is it for identity theft? Because then you just have all their secrets.
He literally created it for a different purpose, right?
Yeah.
Like, why did he scrapped it? Because this is horrifying.
Yeah.
Like,
this is... An auto portrait.
Yeah.
The McGargle auto portrait.
McGargle auto portrait.
Well, yeah.
I like it. It's good.
They're like, what'd you do? Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. We're not happy with
it. It's one of my cursed objects. How many objects do you make are cursed? Like 90% of them.
Look,
like,
buddy, I don't go into... Like,
They're not, I'm cursed, I make the object, object is cursed. Like, nothing I can do about it.
You know what, maybe it's easier if I just show you. Hits a button, and then McGroggle Ghost shows up. And it's like, once again, you summon me, please don't put me away. Like, don't send me back wherever you send me. He goes, look, I don't fully understand it myself. But
and also, you're very distressing to interact with.
Then just kill me. I don't know how.
I'm working on it. The only reason I made this was to kill you. So, the auto portrait. Okay, and you only get like one or two pieces of film.
They're very difficult to make.
It's like...
It should be a full-on ritual to make more film.
It's like that one episode of Star Trek where they made the hologram Sherlock Holmes that gets loose.
Moriarty.
Moriarty gets
loose. He shows up in a bunch of other places, too.
Speaking of McGargle.
McGargle.
You have some submissions.
I have several submissions, but two that I picked out to spotlight because
they
made me laugh. The first one, The Curse of the Desert, is a fingerless glove. The wearer can put their hand into anyone's pocket or their pocket, and it'll be full of sand to use for pocket sand. Anyone who reaches into your pocket or their pocket or anything will just see what's in your pocket if they're not wearing the glove. The glove gives you instant access to a far-off beach full of sand for infinite pocket sand.
It is attuned to a beach on an abandoned island. There's a small percentage chance that per use that the hand is attacked by a crab. only 1 square meter of sand can be retrieved per day before the surf refills it.
I like it.
I like it too. Curse of the Desert. That's fine.
I like that one a lot.
It's so on theme for our dumb game.
What's the damage that the crab does to you if it gets you?
It's embarrassing. You take 1d4 embarrassment damage. Here, Max.
You lose a finger.
All right. This next one is called The Whispers of the Agrarian.
Okay. Like with a agrarian?
Yeah, like a farming society or like nature. Any pair of horns used from a sacrificed animal during the ritual can be used to create this item.
Oh, so it's a ritual.
Yes, it's nice. A ritual.
Well, the item is a product of the ritual.
Yes, product of the ritual. Right. The horns allow sound to travel between the two horns. This would be highly prized by spies and forward scouts.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
Side effect. Those in possession of the horns will begin to dream of rolling hills, the satisfying squish of cud. If a person places the horn to their temples, they will hear the gibbering thoughts of the animal, eventually an overpowering urge to leave the civilized life and return to the pastures overtakes the wearer. So that's the danger of overuse.
That would be
Whispers of the Agrarian.
A good thing to do against somebody that you hate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a political figure?
They were originally created to sneak into the Akhenoten Empire. But the spies just kept wandering off into the wilderness.
Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm. That was also from our friend Gerard Leopold.
Good and useful.
Loved him. Those are really good. We're going to start doing this on as many episodes as possible, featuring our McGargle submissions. So if you have any ideas that you think are fun for items that could appear in our game world for people to use that you don't mind if other people use, as long as we keep your name in the credit, then please submit. This is awesome.
And, yeah, both those submissions were just, they're very tasty. Yeah. They were very tasty. And they're in.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flavor.
Let's make two of our pre-made characters. Let's flesh them out a little bit.
Let's go.
Do you just want to go in a line, or do we want to...
Line it.
Or we could randomize it.
Ooh, that's good, too.
So it's not up to us.
We're used to the randomizer, yeah.
So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Roll a d10, re-roll a 0?
Sure.
Roll it.
It's going to let you... You have the honors. 4.
4. That is our Citadel Hrod named Abutos Tumas. He's a Hrod from the Mera, which are like ancient Egyptian.
Megalith.
Ptolemaic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst Hrod.
What's your favorite? The Piro?
Look, I also have a soft spot.
I do as well. But I do like the Hrod as like being a more established society.
Desmond Hrod will fight you.
James Carville as an alligator is just floating around in my head.
His profession is ritualist, and he's 89 years old. 89 years young.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a Hrod.
Have you decided that that's like...
Not
late,
that old for a Hrod?
Late, well, like late middle age?
No, I think like just middle age.
Okay.
Full Citadel.
Yeah.
We have the build basically figured out. We're not worried about stats or anything like that. It would be trivial for any of our listeners who've been listening to stat out Abutos Tumas.
Yes.
Let's talk about history. Why is Abutos available and ready for any adventure that may come his way in any region that it may be taking place in?
He was a guard for something that no longer exists.
Like almost like a Ronin.
Yeah. Like he was
he outlived
the service that he had signed up for.
That's, I like that. There's also, what are other professions that are similar to that? He's a ritualist, first of all.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, like, mercenary, obviously. Like, every adventurer who picks up jobs at a tavern is a mercenary. But yeah, so a guard, that service ended.
Of a library. He's a ritualist.
Well, they're all leyliners as well. Like, that's the thing, right? They're all leyliners. So why did he move from what he was doing to becoming a leyliner rather than find something similar before?
Maybe he just retired. He was ready to do something different.
But everything he's about to face is going to be harder than anything that was a guard.
Yeah, but reading about everything all your whole life, you're like, I'm going to go out.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's for the adventure of it, where you're like, holy shit, midlife crisis, I'm 80 whatever years old.
I like midlife crisis.
Yeah, he's having a midlife crisis where he's like, I've been in the same goddamn metropolis. I've been guarding the same fucking post. I literally outlived my boss. I haven't seen the world.
I like the idea that, though, it's a library. That's why he's a ritualist. Uh-huh. He studies as well. And then his post has been cleared.
So he's not a guard. He's a ritualist at a library.
Mm-hmm.
Library gets moved maybe to a different city. Gets changed, right? Like, so
I don't think the library should move or change. It's that they like younger people being in defense of the library.
I like that, too. I also like the idea that Doug said, where he's been reading, and I think Max, you said this, where part of his job is reading and catching up on things and learning new rituals, and he's always the bridesmaid, never the bride, right?
Yeah. Like he's a nerd who got buff.
Yeah.
And was like, okay, well, my job requires me to do this.
Served in the military.
Sure.
Yeah. That's how he became the Citadel, and then became a ritualist because he had a talent for it.
But I think those two things can coincide, where like, if you're choosing random guards for a library, or like, you don't even if you're just like a security guard or a
specialized guard,
like you'd want your librarians of your very rare books to also be able to lay down the law.
Yeah. Or what if there was a kind of guard that had to be versed in rituals?
Yeah,
right.
Because you have to know if someone's looking up something they shouldn't.
Because even after a while, someone's just like, I'm like, excuse me, sir, I'm looking for the book about this. And he's like, oh, it's over there.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, everyone's just like, I'm just a fucking guard. I don't know. Don't ask me, you know?
Like, but he served there like 40 years, so he knows. Just, he's like, oh, no, I know this library.
Part librarian, part barbarian.
Yeah. So that's it.
Conan the librarian.
I was going to say, that's a good UHF
my
reference.
My barbarian. I like that. So he's in service to, under contract, we'll say. Like, he's doing some kind of public service to a specific order that has their own study. In return for his work, he gets to participate in the study.
Yeah.
And when the service is over, he wants to see the world, finds out about the leyliners, offers his services.
Yeah.
Says, oh shit, this is a good chance to go see some shit.
He's like, in fact, both of your vocations are very useful.
Mm-hmm. All right, I like him, but that is just history. What's he like? What does he like? Does he enjoy music? Is he into art?
I don't think he would as someone in the library. He wouldn't like music.
Oh,
right?
I would almost go further. He's now having spent this much of his life doing research, reading on things, he's a glutton for experiences.
Ooh, yeah.
So is he the one who's most likely to talk to a stranger?
Yeah, he's gung-ho. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call him a shut-in before as much as his job required him to not move. So
but now, like, he's not afraid for his safety ever.
No,
right?
Imagine having no fear and just going into the world and be like, what's this?
He's 80 years old, 9 foot tall, and made of, like, fucking armor.
Yeah. Well, but also, But also, he's living in a worst case scenario where, like, if he dies tomorrow, in his culture, he is accomplished enough to be maybe not venerated, but respected.
Yeah.
He's reached a point where, like, everything I do now is icing. I have had my cake, and I'm here for icing.
But time to eat it.
Yeah.
The idea that everything he's done is like, okay, you're venerated. Yeah, you'll get buried with all the rights and services that you've earned.
With a balcony.
But what will people say about you?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he did his job. He was a good person who did his job. He's like, wouldn't it be cooler if they said, like, you know, like some of the things I read about? Like you
he
know.
he was fun.
He was a venerable.
He traveled the world and he was a leyliner and discovered a thing that no other Hrod had seen.
After being a venerable library guard for a full term of service, having, again, requiring what his society needs of him to be for the greater good. And he's like, cool, now I'm going to. This is my weird phase.
So he thinks of this as like, and now my life begins.
Yeah.
And he is, let's say he's overly friendly, excitable, really adventurous when it comes to
food, music, culture.
He's the first one to be like, well, it doesn't look that dangerous to me. Let's just check it out.
He's the anti-Bilbo.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, anti-Bilbo.
Is it Mastiff Puppy? You know, just like... Yeah. Puppy that's 40 pounds and just bouncing around.
But I like that. He's like, no, it's a service dog who's just now allowed to roam free in the plains. And they're like, oh, the service dog is like, oh, I've been in service for a long time. I've helped a lot of people cross streets and do it. Yeah. Oh, I get to be a
You're taking the vest off?
I get to be a wolf?
We're rolling.
I know we're all familiar with the Return of the Incredible Hulk movie from the 80s with Lou Ferrigno, where he meets Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost imagining
him. Yes, we're all familiar with
right.
it.
I almost imagine him being like Thor in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where somebody knocks on the door and they're like, oh no, there's trouble. And he goes, trouble?
Hello.
I thought you'd talk about where he answers the door wearing nothing but a towel
That's
and
the
drinking
same
a
seed. Yeah.
This guy's expecting, I guess he's expecting Banner and just says, oh, sorry, I'm looking for men. And you found one.
I mean a particular man. Well, I'm a particular man, especially about who comes knocking on my door. You look like a rat-tailed Saxon, sir, or maybe a thieving Celt. It's a wonderful film.
Yes.
But there's a bar
Matt
scene.
Matt Murdock is his lawyer in that movie. Yes.
I need to watch this movie.
Yes, you do. It's great. He thinks the Hulk is a giant troll. And he's stoked about it.
Yeah.
Like, they're at
that
time,
would be Thor's favorite thing.
Yes.
If trolls just start showing up.
They talk about the Hulk coming back when Banner, he doesn't know that the Hulk is Banner. And he's like, yeah, the Hulk's going to come out again. And he's like, what? And he's like, the big green monster. He's like, that troll could fight. If anyone listening hasn't seen it, go see it. It's amazing.
I need to see it, damn. It loves me some Lou Ferrigno.
I think it might be the Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
No, I think
that's a different thing.
That's a different one. It's the same cast.
Well, because it was the two TV movies or whatever, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you could get them as a two-pack.
These are deep cuts.
That's how
folks.
I saw it originally when I rented it from Blockbuster Video.
Oh, Swamp Thing.
It's got a 70% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
For Thor alone, probably.
Yeah, he's great. There's a bar scene, and that's how I imagine Abatos Tumas. They're like, would you like a beer? He's like, all the beer. Everything.
Living life to the fullest.
Yes. Just happy and always assumes the best of everyone and is often wrong.
So this way, when it goes bad, he's always surprised and offended.
Yeah. I thought we were friends.
Yeah. Like, you mean the mafia just did me a favor so because they expected something in return?
I gave them a gift out of the goodness of my heart.
Fat Tony.
Forgive me for the small treason, but what was your Tiktani character?
Mine?
Frixa.
Yeah. Frixa. Yeah.
Just gives me a little bit of a Frixa.
Yeah, well, Frixa was insidious, is the difference.
And pretending not to be.
Yeah, Frixa was like, if I ignore the insults against me, I can kind of pretend no offense has been taken. We can just keep moving.
And I know if anything truly bad ever happened to me, you would light them on fire. Mm-hmm.
Or I could just stab them in their sleep. wouldn't be that. That's the most boring outcome. Let's do the fun thing. I like that for Abatos Tumas. I think that's a full character.
Yeah.
We don't need anything else. Roll the dice, Liam.
We got eight.
Eight. Eight is, ooh, okay. Our Tolden 44-year-old ranger named Prinia, and she is champion, core, then fire, and radiance.
All right.
Whew. She's dangerous.
I don't want to play that character. I want to be in that party, though.
Dangerous to be in the woods.
Yeah, she's just super dangerous.
Dangerous to be on a boat.
But she's like sleeping in some pine needles and the whole forest catches on fire.
I don't think it, I don't think she farts and fire shoots out. Like,
it's our world, Josh.
Did we establish the order of
population? I don't know if we did.
Because it doesn't say core or anything like that. It just shows the three. It
sounded right.
Well, core fire is actually champion.
I think that was the get.
Yeah. Let's do core fire, step one champion, step one radiance.
Sure. All right.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still, even if that wasn't what we picked, that works.
Yeah.
So what, we think she's
again
born with the ability, or is this something that she probably...
Yeah, well, core fire, that's her, that was the start of it.
The idea being that if you're born with this ability, or rather showing it early, people maybe expect a lot from you. So the Citadel can be, oh, I better go into...
Some military things.
But if that doesn't work out, then there's Radiance on top of that, where it's like, this isn't really what I want. I better go over to Radiance.
Oh, I don't think this was a choice. This was, you have someone with core fire. They show an ability to do that from the beginning, because those are usually more mechanically, you know, basic things. So you have someone who's... becomes like a wood hermit.
Well, let's
because
let's
that
not,
they're
maybe,
supposed
no,
to.
No pun intended. But maybe they burned somebody. I don't. Besides that, no pun intended.
You can't say
it. He did
it
say it. He did
you,
say it.
You
said
can't
it.
Say Liam. It beforehand Liam, and have it not
that's
mean
the
a
point
pun.
Of
you're,
saying
no.
It
you're
you
have
it
to
wrong.
Say it afterwards.
I said
it
with all due respect.
Get off. Yeah.
No, if you say no pun intended first,
Your Honor,
there
Your Honor,
was.
I said no pun intended
Let
before
the
I even said it.
Let's roll back the tape.
Have the court reporter read it back.
No murder intended, but I've killed a man.
No. I don't think that we should treat the core of something as central to their character, because the characters emerge fully formed with the core in that. Like, I think core is just the is the mechanically
mechanical base?
Is the wrapper that there's the abilities to put
in. I was looking at it as a leaping off point, but that's true.
I think that's fine for us to find inspiration with. I want to say that if we're talking about how a character
should be developed,
general creation anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Like these things come out as one.
All right. So we have someone who from inception is...
Well, from the moment we meet them.
Yes.
At 44 years old.
Wily.
A ranger.
A combatant. And,
but also
interested in healing,
or just does
is good at it. So I'm still saying like a little shaman-y, a little guide-y, a little
Radagast-y.
Someone who's at the edge or periphery of the society that they live at.
There's a group of Canadian Rangers. Find their name.
They're called the
Canadian
Mounties.
Rangers.
It's not the Mounties.
I just watched a documentary about it. Brendan Fraser was in.
It's so kind of him to donate his time for learning. The documentaries.
That movie was so bad.
Was it Dudley? Is that your chance?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
I went into that because George's Jungle was top tier.
Fire. Yeah.
Someone was like, let's do it again, and they didn't.
I mean, like 3 days ago, I was watching Dudley Do Right.
Of course you were.
I don't mean like 20
years
ago.
Of course you were.
But Alfred Molina and Brendan Fraser are supposed to be
That's
the same
good
age.
Casting.
Yeah. Yeah, Alfred Molina was a good get for that.
First Nightly Whiplash?
Yeah. SJP didn't do a great job as Nell, I don't believe.
Would believe that she'd fall in love with a horse, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
Are they called the geese or something? Because that would be...
No.
Canadian geese are monsters.
Yeah, they are. No, the Canadian Rangers have far more discipline than a Canadian goose.
Yeah.
So the Canadian Rangers are a 5,000-strong subcomponent of the Canadian Armed Forces Reserve that provide a limited military presence in Canada's sparsely settled northern, coastal, and isolated areas. There is, I think they are primarily made of First Nations as well as Inuit people, but only by coincidence. Like, it's not...
Because they're suited to the job.
Like how most astronauts come from Ohio?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's just that, like, you know, if you grow up within a culture that is based around, that has a lot of nature-specific practices, you will do well in any kind of ranging in that environment.
Yes. Oh, Canada.
Our home and native land.
Pun was intended on that one.
Yeah. Again, it was
intended. You said it afterwards.
It was, you're getting, if you say no pun intended and then say a pun, You knew it was a pun beforehand, and so there
I knew it would be misinterpreted as a pun.
Yeah, I've done exactly what Doug has done, where I'm like, oh, this is going to sound bad, but I don't have another word for this.
Yeah.
No pun intended, but...
It's like saying, no offense, but, you know, and then it's like, you offended me. It's like, I said no offense. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Put the fence away.
And no offense is mostly used by people who are knowingly saying offensive stuff.
He who would pun would pick a pocket.
So...
I know. I got that reference.
So we say she's a ranger, but we need to remember that she is now a leyliner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So whatever she was ranging before, new territory.
Why?
Yeah.
She burnt the forest down.
No, Douglas.
Arson.
You don't want her.
Arson.
You would be like, I want to be a leyliner now that I've fucked up my life. No, thank you.
They might. They might.
No. We can do better.
That'd be lamplighters. They'd be like, you did what?
You're desperate?
How much did you light up?
What if she found Dairon?
Yeah, that's fun. What if she kept finding artifacts in the woods, and then she kept having to hand them off and be like, and what was it? And like, we can't tell you.
And she's like,
this sucks.
And then it's what is it? Oh, we can't tell you. Where'd you find it? Well, you know. Like, this is like, almost like you could, I know my way around. Maybe
I'll just hang on to it. Well, that's your right. This sucks.
I'm going to join.
I want to know. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
So, I like that. Yeah. She was accidental Indiana Jones.
Just constantly. She's always out in the woods, always finding shit. And they can't tell her. And she's like, ugh, I want to know. I'm like, well, join the ley liners.
Fine. I'll do your stupid club.
Yeah.
That if she resents having to be a leyliner,
I love that,
because she's just here for the artifacts. And
you know what the most fucked up thing about it? When I finally got in there, they don't know what it is either.
Well, not at this level. You got to get
to the next level.
It's a complete
mystery.
I love this.
The idea that she's a reluctant adventurer.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have the overwhelmingly enthusiastic adventurer.
Now I got to follow this dickweed's orders. No. Telling me to go look around.
But don't you just... hunger for the adventure, for the dice. I spent all of my life in the woods. I'm used to adventure.
Exactly. Adventure just keeps happening to her. Yeah. So she joined up with the Adventurers Guild because
might as well get paid more.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the pay.
When I was 24, I fell into a cavern. What was in the cavern? I'm not supposed to say.
What a curse. That was like.
Yeah.
I like it. She was employed as a ranger in one of, we'll figure out the territories later when we have more of them. She did her stuff. Maybe there was like some, you know, like, oh, I was paid as a military scout and then I did ranging for other things. And then I helped with escort, you know, parties and stuff like that.
I did controlled burns.
Yeah. And if she does bring in weird curiosities, the person that she's probably speaking with, you know, in a friendly sort of way, can just be like, listen, you keep bringing us stuff like this, you'd be making money if you just signed up.
Yeah.
Like being a leyliner is guaranteed job security.
Like, you're bringing this in out of your own pocket when you could be getting
paid. And she's like,
nah,
miss me with that club bull crap. I'm going to do it. Like that, and then eventually...
She's like, how much do you make?
I think eventually it just wears her... Like, she has too many bad ranging jobs in a row.
Oh, yeah.
She get, like, somebody stiffs her on pay, and he's like, don't say it.
I don't want it to be about the money.
No, sure.
It's not about the money.
Helps, but,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's probably better, but it's not even a situation of money. It's, hey, if I'm going to accidentally discover things that could potentially end the world...
May as well.
Might as well join the union for that specifically.
Yeah. I would say that she is... funny.
Yes. Sure.
Reluctant to adventure.
Sardonic.
Yeah. A little, what's the word? Doesn't do well with authority that much, probably.
Yeah.
She lives independently for a while.
Yeah. Struggles with authority, or has no respect for authority, we'll say.
Sure.
No respect for authority.
That isn't earned.
Yeah. Well, she respects expertise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But authority, meh.
No.
Why do you get to tell me what to do?
Because you have the hat. Like, that? Why? Matt, why?
I got a question, boss. How do you get out of this chicken shit outfit?
Exactly.
It's the Hudson.
But, but if someone laid down the line, they're like, we're making a defensive stand here, she'd be like, okay.
No, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Avatos, anyone ever
tell you you look like a rod?
You look like an adventurer?
Oh, yes, every meal a banquet. Every formation a parade.
Competent, obviously. Yeah. All of these people will be competent.
Yeah. That's another game where they're incompetent.
She likes to tease her teammates when they fuck up.
Yes. Like it.
I think that's the whole character.
Yep.
All right. Prinia is done. And I think that's enough for us
that's
tonight.
That's a sode, baby.
Let's do it. We got the sode in the can.
Beep, beep.
It's podcasting parlance for episode. It's when you call it a soap.
Oh.
Just cool. Like audio is studio, that for the uninitiated.
Is there a studio?
I like that we saved no time abbreviating it.
Yes, exactly.
It's the same number of syllables, takes the exact same amount of time to say.
So all he right. was writing a song about going to the studio to record the song that he was writing?
Yes.
Susu Studio?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Disagree?
No, it'd be, that would be Udio, his follow-up. Oh, shit. Yeah. Sorry. His follow-up to talk about recording that song.
Yeah. He said, studio is too long. We're just going to change it to Udio.
Udio.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, as always. And if you have comments or suggestions, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 and up patrons can find us at the Omniverse Discord. On Twitter, we are at @HomebrewHombres, and on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS. And until next time, everybody, stay safe, stand watch, get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.